Abby and Christine, welcome to Tea Time.
Hi. Welcome.
Welcome. Abby, tell us what you're doing. What is this?
I'm holding this little fidget slug.
He's so cute.
We all have fidgets.
We all have our fidgets today. Mom has her fidget. And
love
these
that.
Are wonderful. You know, I got one while I direct. I got a fidget. My wife always takes it. But every time I direct.
I am obsessed with
it. Or I'm in a position of power. I need something sensory to keep my energy together. Why do you like playing with your slug, Abby?
It's because it's helped me for focus instead of picking at my skin because I know it's a bad habit. I have to use this.
That's
this slug.
Fair. Yeah.
That makes total sense. I like it. It's very mesmerizing
and
to me.
And speaking of picking skin, my dog sometimes bites her paws.
Yeah, yes. That's like biting your fingernails for humans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do for
it? Does your dog do that? Does he bite his paws?
No, he bites us.
He does not bite us. He does not
but
bite
his,
us.
It, hopefully it doesn't hurt us when the lion cub did it to me because his jaws were stronger.
Where did you see a lion cub?
In Ensenada.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
And his little tooth went through my mother's hand.
Oh, no. Was that the first time you'd seen a lion cub?
Somewhere like that. He wouldn't stop biting my leg.
Oh, who's
a zoo
playful.
Down there?
Yeah.
Literally.
Got it.
Sounds like this lion's biting people.
Come on, yeah, everyone. Wild.
So people might wonder what I have on my head right now.
Yes.
I just want to show them that we got presents when Abby walked into the room.
Abby, you're a knitter.
I knit. It all started off at my training school, Miller. I was in a class called Textiles. And my teacher, Miss Carol, taught me how to do this.
Do you have a particular stitch that you like to do the best?
I like to knit thick and thin yarn.
Okay.
I'm working on a hat right now. It's like a dark blue.
Ooh,
and it's thin. It's a different shade. It's a little darker. It's sparkly.
Amazing.
It's a hat. It's a blue hat for Hanukkah.
I love that.
How long have you been knitting?
7 or 8 years.
Oh, you're a professional.
What do you use? Tell them what you use.
I use a loom to knit to make the hat, and then I push it down, and then once it's done, I tie it off, and it goes like that, and it's done. And then my mom has to do the last part of it.
Which is?
The tying off part.
Okay.
The school doesn't teach you all the skills sometimes. They teach you a portion of the skills.
Got it.
So when I had the idea to do a Made by Abby, which is her website, and I said to the school, I have an idea. I will do a little business from our home, and we'll employ other kids on the spectrum that also have crafts. So a lot of crafty people on the spectrum making origami and doing other things, bracelets. And the school said no. And I cried.
Aww.
And I told the teacher, I said, no, they won't let us do advanced weaving, so we can't learn all the other skills. And the teacher said, well, I'm retiring, so I'll come to your house on Saturdays, and I will teach you how to do this.
Oh, I love that.
So we have to say thank you to Miss Carol.
Thank you, Miss Carol.
Because she's the one that went and bent the rules a little bit. To help us, and we would not be doing this if it wasn't for her.
Well, wow. I think Abby and you bend the rules in such a great way all the time. And we're so happy to have you on the podcast. We kind of want to talk a little bit about why we love you.
Yes, well, we love your show, Abby. Love on the Spectrum is so wonderful. And when Raven and I started watching it, we were just like, this girl is amazing.
Smart.
We were just taken with you. You're smart. You're funny. We loved you and your mom so much. We thought everything in your life just seemed exciting and entertaining and fun. And I just want to know, how was the show for you? Did you enjoy being on the show?
I did. The first day they came, I had to sit in my room, and it was very harder to focus when I'm sitting.
Yeah.
Because when I'm sitting still, my brain's not really doing what I'm telling it to do.
Yeah.
But the next day they came back, they let me move around, and I was more focused, and my brain did do what I told it to do.
Well, that's good. At
and
least
speaking of brains, I'm in a brain and memory therapy class right now.
What do you
learn? It's called Speech Gestalt Language Processing.
What do you learn in that class?
I'm learning. It's not physically a class. It's like a meeting. I'm doing it with a lady named Ryan.
Okay. Mm.
And she's teaching me 5 senses and 3 parts of the brain. The smart brain, the emotional brain, and the survival brain.
Ooh, I'm
like
in my
whenever
survival
I'm
brain
hearing a baby crying and I get dysregulated, my smart brain is off and my emotional and survival brains take over.
That makes sense. Mm. Abby, what other things cause you to feel dysregulated?
Like if I hear a baby, if there's a baby crying near me, that could cause me to have some dysregulation.
Yeah. and other loud noises, like if a dog is barking like crazy?
It used to, yeah, when I was younger, I could maybe get severe dysregulation.
And have you learned how to regulate yourself or calm?
Yeah, because we had a girl staying with us and her dog, Diesel, stopped me from being afraid of dogs. He saved me. Like, he was barking. He was saying in dog language, change the memory.
Aww. Oh, yes. There you go. That's amazing.
When you get dysregulated, what happens?
It causes me to do certain things. It causes me to say memories and categories. Mm-hmm. It causes me to, like biting. I know that's a bad habit.
Mm-hmm. I bite my nails all the time. Sometimes I get dysregulated when there's a ting, ting, ting in the car and a rattling.
Yeah. Or also another auditory issue is roosters crowing in the middle of the night.
Well, that's just irritating,
Like
Abby.
When I stayed in Joshua Tree, there were two roosters crowing in the middle of the night at 4 a.m.
But that doesn't make sense, Abby. They're supposed to crow in the morning, so that's
when
fair.
The sun rises.
That's fair you get dysregulated.
But
I don't think that's a part
of it.
It
was in the middle of the night.
It
was still dark out.
It doesn't make, right? That's not fair.
They were up.
You know, I don't like it.
That would dysregulate me as well, to be fair, Abby. That's intense. And I feel like all of us on some level probably experience forms of dysregulation in our lives and in certain situations. I know I certainly do, and Raven certainly does. I'm sure Christine does. So it's amazing you're learning to regulate.
I'm proud of you. I would also like to inform our listeners and watchers the type of autism that Abby has, that we can fully understand everything. If that's okay, Christine.
The type of autism I have is where you have a hard time getting your words out. And so that's why I used to identify with Ariel and the Little Mermaid growing up. Because she couldn't get her words out, like me.
That makes sense.
And finally, the real Ariel, Jodie Benson, reached out to me.
Did you meet her?
Yes.
What was that like for you?
It was amazing. I made her a white hat.
Ooh,
I was smart. Why did you choose white?
The foam of the ocean. The foam of the ocean.
Yeah, the foam of the ocean. There you go. That makes total sense.
Did she sing to you or did you sing to her?
We sang together and it was amazing.
They did. They actually sang together. We met at the Grove. There was this meeting. Jodie could not be more beautiful on the inside and out.
Oh my gosh.
And I've been hearing Jodie's name my entire life since she was like 3. So there's certain people like you whose names just like revolved in your lives. And then you meet them and you're like, this spiritual journey of this alternative path that I'm on, not what I thought I was going to be on. But Jodie particularly, because the mermaid and the not talking reference. Yeah. And so we're saying goodbye to Jodie. I really let them do their thing. We all sat around and she just said, you know, you're a great mom. And she hugged me and I fell apart. So I'm bawling my eyes out and Jodie is like cradling me. and I'm like, I can't even believe I'm having this moment with this woman who epitomized the core of how she is on earth. And it just was so many feelings. And I felt so grateful to be able to meet her. Didn't intentionally fall apart in her arms, but it just happened.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
What song did you both sing?
Part of Your World.
Of course.
Abby, can I sing with you?
What do you want to sing?
What do you want to sing?
I wanted all of us to sing together. I don't know. We can sing Little Mermaid. We can sing Lion King.
What do you want to sing, Abby?
Abby can
remember
pick.
The theme song of That So Raven?
Obviously.
Oh my gosh.
How did it go?
If you can gaze into the future, you might think life would be
a breeze.
Seeing trouble from a distance.
Go.
Yeah.
Seeing trouble for the
distance. Yeah. But it's not that easy.
Not that easy.
Whoa. Oh, no. I try to save the situation, then I end up misbehaving.
Singer.
You have a beautiful
voice. You're a trained singer.
Wait, I started getting voice song. Lessons about a couple of years ago.
Really? What are you learning in music lessons?
There's this guy named Bob Garrett, and he knows everyone from America who's been on America's Got Talent.
Wow. Oh, are you about to go on America's Got Talent, Abby?
I'm not sure. Maybe in like when I'm for my 30th birthday is when I want to be on it.
I think that's fair. Oh, let's talk to somebody about cool. that.
I have a question for both of you. So to make the decision to go on a show like Love on the Spectrum would mean to me that you got to a place in your life, Abby, where you were wanting to explore relationships. You wanted to find a boyfriend, right? Love. So yeah, you wanted to find love. So what for both of you made you decide to pursue going on the show and taking the risk to find love on TV?
We first met at the Wildlife Learning Center. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of things in common.
Well, that's amazing.
Love that. That's rare for most couples.
Yeah.
No matter what spectrum you're on.
This is true.
Well, one of the things about the show was, Abs, remember it was the pandemic?
The pandemic.
And it hadn't aired yet. So we got a call from a guy doing a show about dating in the spectrum. And I knew from the point of view of if there's a resource to help her meet people, mm-hmm. that would be great. Because mm-hmm. once you're done with school, for people on the spectrum, I think that it becomes very difficult because you need to meet a like-minded person.
They're not swiping right or left.
No.
It's not happening.
Right. No, right. No. And I would advise to be careful on that. I'm a single woman by choice now, and I used to do that for a while, and I found it at times dangerous,
yeah,
actually.
Definitely.
Because even with, I'm pretty smart about this stuff, and I'm technical from no one.
Love
and
that.
I was two occasions where I was, like, bamboozled. Yeah. One I knew was going to happen, so I played along with it for a while, just mm-hmm. waiting for this guy to ask me for $10,000 because he was stuck at the border. That happened.
Christy. Oh, so you're trying to go on 90 Day Fiancé. That's what I
oh my gosh. Oh my God.
I'm messing
so, like,
with you.
I'm protective of everyone that does it, whether yeah. you're an older person or an
I just might
want to
sing my song since you sang your theme song. I'm oh. going to sing one of my songs.
Oh my God. Oh. If you could serenade us with one of your
songs. I'm going to sing Categories.
Whatever you want.
Okay, it goes like this. I'll just sing the first part of it.
Okay.
Ever feel like your brain's just a messy desktop? Me too. Can't find my words. I know they're in there, but I'm not sure where. Ever feel stuck in the past, looking back at life like movie scenes? I do. Nobody else can see what's playing on the screen. It's just me. Imagine Ariel's eating chocolate bars. Ursula's got a chili pepper. I like to put different things together and understand the world much better. Well, I got tired of being left behind just because I've got a different mind. Gotta find a way to make them understand. So I made folders up inside my head. Good with good and bad with bad. Thought maybe I could find my words like that. That's why I have these categories in my mind. Help me tell my stories and take my time to explain my feelings, my thoughts, my worries. Yes, my categories. That's what makes sense for me.
Oh,
that was my song.
That is, Abby, you have such a beautiful voice. Did you write that?
I did write that. And I wrote it with my cousin Mary, who's college roommate.
Wow.
And she's here, and I wrote it with her college roommate, Casey Kelly.
Wow. It's really beautiful.
And music is interesting in Abby's life because she could sing before she could talk. And yeah. I have this recording of her. She was about 2.5 years old.
And my voice was a little bit raspy, like Miley Cyrus. Miley Stewart. Hannah Montana.
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, I was like, cool, well, cool. She's still raspy.
Yeah. So go on.
No, she could
and
sing.
And I sound
she,
like Miley Cyrus when I'm coughing, when I'm under the weather.
Oh, that
like,
makes sense.
Only
understand
if I'm
that.
Sick, yes.
Abby, remember we were talking about you could sing before you could talk?
Yeah.
Do you remember that feeling? So I noticed that music, she could like sing a song beginning to end, like even Twinkle Twinkle Little Star as a little girl, but couldn't put meaningful words together, a lot of scripting, what we call echolalia, which is when you repeat things you hear, but it doesn't really have meaning.
Yep.
It was really confusing. There were things she'd say that I just didn't know what it meant, didn't point for things that she wanted, didn't respond to her name sometimes. She was diagnosed pretty young, at two years, 3 months. Jeez. Luckily, I put her in preschool early. Just because that's what the other parents were doing. Sort of
well, think
them.
About it. And I put everything in my mouth
you did?
At that preschool, including rabbit poop.
Okay.
I mean, my mom's oldest brother did the same thing, but he ate sawdust.
That's what babies do at that age, though. That's very normal.
I mean, if you think about humans, we have to put everything in our mouth just to see if it's non-toxic or not.
Yeah. But it was toxic.
Yeah.
Taste of your lips, I'm on a ride.
Ooh.
You're toxic, I'm slipping under with a razor. Poison paradise. I'm addicted to you. Don't you know that you're toxic?
Don't eat the rabbit now.
Don't eat the rabbit now. I love what you do. Don't you know that you're toxic? I should have sang that when I did it.
Well, you did it now, so I don't think Britney had that song out at that point, so don't worry, Abby.
But it was toxic then.
Yes.
So music has become very, can we say, cathartic for you? It's something that's very important.
For your regulation.
For your regulation and just your mind and also your life, right? You just love to sing.
And explaining who you are.
Yeah. Do you remember what you said? What does it feel like when you're singing?
My autism is not here, but when I'm talking, it is here.
And when you're singing,
you said, when I'm singing, my autism. She said this to me one day randomly. There have been these moments of trying to understand what it feels like, because I'm not in that space, but I've met a lot of people. But if you have a language problem, it's hard to describe. Mm-hmm. And she said, when I'm singing, it feels like my autism goes away. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm done singing, it comes back.
Okay, so what I find beautiful about that is that music is known to be universal. Music, you can play underwater. Dolphins will understand it. You can.
But I won't sing out loud underwater. I'll sing in my head.
This is very true.
Right.
You can't sit. That's dangerous. But I'm saying, like, if you got a boombox or a speaker and you put it underneath the water, I think fish would understand the vibrations of music.
Yeah.
I think that that's why I like to listen to the radio from different countries, even though I don't know what they're saying. I still get the feeling. And Abby, when you sang your song categories, I started to cry because music.
Did it make you cry, that song?
Yes, it did.
Made her Do you feel know
whenever
emotions.
Good things happen, I think about other things I like too. Like if
that's
there's
a lyric.
Those are some of the lyrics.
Make sure
to my
they
song.
Know it's a lyric.
It's a lyric to my song.
I love that.
But Raven was saying how it makes her feel.
It made you feel emotional?
Yes. It made me feel very emotional because rarely do people that are not socially typical get a chance to express themselves and they don't have an outlet. And Abby, you found an outlet for yourself to explain to so many other people in this world how you think and how you have categories in your brain. And I hope that you know that you're amazing and you should be proud of yourself,
yes,
dude.
Yes, I associate. Here's an example. Like, can I give you an example of a category? Like,
yes, please. Yes,
I would love to hear
babies
these.
Who cry and are very loud eat foods I don't like because I feel the exact same way.
Well, what
That's
foods don't you
works?
Like to eat?
Spicy hot chili peppers like the band. Because they burn my mouth and make it go on fire and be like a Spice Girl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like the Spice Girls. Like, and speaking of the Spice Girls, I sang one of their songs in my epic performance.
Last week.
With four other girls.
Oh, that's
How
fun.
Amazing. Yeah. Abby, I have a question for you. Since going on the show, outside of finding David, your boyfriend, what has been the thing that's changed the most for you? Is it having people recognize you in public? Is it getting to meet some really cool people?
It's really nice to make me meet cool people.
Yeah, that's been amazing. And I know you said that you met the voice of Ariel. Who else have you met?
At Disneyland, I ran into Kristen Bell, who voiced Anna in Frozen.
Oh, awesome.
I love her. That's amazing.
And whose house did you go to?
I went to...
For a podcast, who's...
Taylor Lautner's.
Oh, my goodness.
Have you heard The Adventures of Sharkboy and Lava Girl?
Yes.
I was at his podcast. Ooh. Taylor Lautner.
That's amazing.
Wow. So you've gotten a lot of cool opportunities.
Yeah.
And how are things with you and David?
Things are going pretty well. And we were singing in Africa during the sunset like Simba and Nala.
Relationship
you know,
goals.
Abby, I have to tell you, that moment in the show, I watched and I looked at my wife, Raven, and I said.
I did not compare.
Why can't you do things like that for me? And she said, baby steps. I just can't believe you had such a beautiful romantic moment. He's the best boyfriend ever, isn't he?
Yeah, because when I was too young to have a romance, I felt left out in the cold.
Yeah. I can understand that.
As do people not on the spectrum. So these are normal feelings.
So as a kid, I felt left out in the cold.
Yeah.
That's an idiom.
It is.
I felt isolated and lonely.
And how do you feel now?
Accepted. That's why I've always wanted to be an adult. And look at me now. As an adult woman, I feel like Cinderella at the ball.
I love that. That's amazing. I had some time in my life, too, where I felt very left out and unaccepted. High school was hard for me. So making friends can also be really hard if you're different or if the other kids don't understand you. So I imagine, was it hard for you, too, in school?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that you are now Cinderella at the ball because you deserve
all of
that. And
you're out here on television, all those kids in school, you know, they can just sit down, Abby.
You know, it's crazy to think because here, from my perspective, was someone that couldn't converse. So we have people that have neurological differences in social skills or maybe planning or self-confidence. But then you have people that like can't communicate or talk in sentences, which is where we were. Mm-hmm. So I like to share that. So people that are struggling right now with 3, 4, 5-year-olds going, what's going to happen? Because I was that person. Just, I would cry myself to sleep. I would not know. It's by myself. She has a brother too. And I'm trying to work. And it was so overwhelming at times, but said a lot of prayers and then got off my butt and just said, okay, you know, we're going to figure out what you need, get that brain to work. So we started in that place, like language, fought the school district, you know, like did all those things to 20, how many years of therapy, of speech therapy, Abs?
22 years of speech
like
therapy.
Like 22 years.
What was the mark where you're like, oh, this is working?
You know, it's funny you say that because like being here, you're like, I guess it's working. It's been such an ongoing, long process. There is no graduation from this. It is a lifelong journey in understanding how your brain works.
I think that's something that people not on the spectrum need. The fact that she understood emotional and the different parts of the brain, I don't think that we teach that to...
We don't.
And I think that's brilliant.
I found a woman that is a speech woman on TikTok, because we're all on TikTok, and... You know, I'm learning like everyone else is learning. I'm not some expert. I will tell you what I did that I think worked. It might work for you. It might not. You know, but I think sharing information for parents and people on the spectrum is how we get synergized together to help people have a better life.
Most definitely.
That's pretty much it. Can't compare yourself to anyone else. And so I found this Gestalt language processing idea within speech therapy. Mm-hmm. And it's people who learn language and memories and lived experience. Mm-hmm. So Abby, remember UCLA? So when Abby was 4, she went to the UCLA Neuropsych Institute for 13 weeks to be diagnosed and evaluated.
Yeah.
Wow.
And at the end of that, at the end of each day at 1 o'clock, she went upstairs to what's called the clubhouse. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And that was a program that was not a good fit.
However, and I felt like a fish out of water there.
Mm.
Because why? You have a little
because a lot
mustache.
Of kids had a lot of behavior problems. And
you didn't.
And I'm not like that. I'm nothing like that.
Yeah.
Nothing.
So she had a lot of anxiety because of when we're placing kids.
Kind of like Piglet from Winnie the Pooh.
My favorite character.
Piglet's your favorite? I felt like Piglet from Winnie the Pooh at the clubhouse. Yes. I felt just like Piglet.
You did.
So he worries too much.
So the placement gets tricky with kids on the spectrum because they clump all the kids in one, even though they're vastly different within their neurology. They're different. And so because we don't have that much placement and everything, but it caused her massive anxiety. She couldn't express it. So the feeling of that place became the descriptive language. That's the clubhouse.
Got it.
Instead of saying, I'm scared, I'm afraid, she's saying, that's UCLA, that's the clubhouse, kids this. And anything to do with anxiety became
that
memory.
And there weren't a lot of girls there.
You didn't like that.
Sense. You know what that feels like? That feels like a PTSD moment. You know, it feels like when she now has a bad situation, she'll go to that clubhouse. And I'm trying to do a one-to-one for those who might not understand sometimes. It's like, no, when you have a bad situation, you might look at
David would have been scared there because of the heights.
Oh, is he afraid of heights?
Right. David would have been terrified if he was on that deck because of the heights.
Oh, you know what? Raven is also scared of heights.
I am.
Yeah. So Raven was just saying something that I wanted to hear there.
Yeah. Okay, explain. Thank you.
I hear what you're saying, though. The one-to-one.
The one-to-one for someone who might not understand what she's going through. Not necessarily the nonverbal part as of right now, but when you're at a place, she puts things in categories, and we do too.
Right.
If you have, for instance, an abusive relationship and you disassociate and look at the color green and you get out of that relationship later in life, you might associate bad things with the color green, or when you see it, something happens.
It's just how a place, a smell, a sound can evoke a certain emotion or reaction.
And memory.
And a memory.
And if that memory is negative, then boom. That, I believe, happens to all of us.
Yes.
For sure.
And hers is at a level.
But in her case, it is so overwhelming and it so takes over every other brain function that we now can't function. We are stuck. Yeah. And so it's giving Abby the opportunity to try and learn how to honor that memory, but then add the feeling word to it. So we're actually in this therapy, which I randomly started doing this by instinct, saying, wow, my kid's thinking in memories. This is weird. She was in like eighth grade. So I actually have this at home. I took a crayon and drew the clubhouse, like with two kids, and I wrote clubhouse, and then I put it at the bottom. I'm scared, I'm sad, I'm shocked,
or
I'm
anxiety from Inside Out too.
That was a great movie.
She's anxiety from Inside Out, too, sometimes.
And whenever I'd fall down and hurt myself, I'd feel like sadness or sometimes even anger.
This is why
the red guy.
This is why I love working with Disney, because Disney can also give tools for those mothers or family members who don't understand where to go first. There is something that happens in Disney movies and television that allows for the explanation.
And but you know what I don't like?
Tell me.
Horror movies.
Me neither, Abby.
So when Ben and I were little children, when we were young children.
Is Ben your brother?
Yes.
Okay.
When Ben was a little kid, he'd watch horror movies with his father when we were there for the weekend.
And you were scared?
I've seen parts of it and there were some violence. I was like 7 or 8.
Do you think that The Night Before Christmas is a horror movie?
I don't think so, but on Haunted Mansion, there's no gore.
That's fair.
Good.
Yeah, that is good.
We don't want
because I don't want to see anything gory. Ugh.
Well, we do know that the Disney thing, like you said, that formula is real, and I've seen it a lot of times. And I think that we know people at Disney. We've been grateful to meet some people and some people in animation. And what is that formula of just such? It's such a contained, easy to follow formula. Life Animated is a great movie about. A father and son who the father discovers that the son is nonverbal or non-speaking, and the father just picks up on it and he starts talking in Disney characters. The son gets opens up a whole world.
It's wild.
And
that's
gets his language back.
Gets his language back, but they use that sort of kind of modality. So there's definitely something in the formula that I think needs to be explored.
I think you're right. It's very interesting.
You know?
So Abby, on Tea Time, which is
the show we're on right now.
We ask every one of our guests to put their hand in this teapot and pull out a topic. And there's something in this pot that we're going to talk about. Are you willing to do that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tell us what's inside. Just pull one. Now tell us what's on that.
Travel!
Ooh! Ooh, now we get to talk about travel for a little bit. Do you like to travel, Abby?
I do.
Tell us about travel. Where would you like to go? Where have you been?
I've been to Africa and I look forward to going to Austria because you know why I want to go there, because that's where The Sound of Music took place.
Aww. I've been there, Abby.
I want to go.
It's beautiful. You're going
to
love
Austria.
I want to go to Austria as well.
Did you visit places like where The Sound of Music, because I heard it wasn't shot there actually.
Yeah, it wasn't actually shot there, but I did try to. It was a little bit farther than I could. I had a time constriction, but it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
You guys are going to have a great time.
Rolling hills.
And I do want to go to Italy.
Oh.
You need Italian food like spaghetti, meatballs, pizza, pasta.
Yummy.
In Italy.
Yes.
Did you just say yummy?
I did.
Oh, one of my favorite words.
Because it's a genius word, Abby. Yummy.
Because yummy is right. That would be.
Yummy in my tummy.
Yummy in my tummy.
You know why? Speaking of that, I do eat those foods, but I still have moderation. But it's not physically a diet. I'm working out. I run on the treadmill. I lift weights, and I have a personal trainer. I have a guy come. A guy comes and helps me.
Oh, that's amazing,
Coach T. His name is Coach T.
Something that's great about Italy or traveling, I find, is you can just walk a bunch. Right when we're home, I feel like we don't walk as much. Mm. When you were in Africa, did you walk a lot? Did you do fun things? Were you physical?
In Africa?
Yeah.
I saw lionesses and their cubs. I saw vultures eating and picking the guts of a dead wildebeest.
Gore.
That was gory.
That was gory.
Were you on a safari?
I was.
Oh, my goodness.
And I did not see any cheetahs.
No?
No cheetahs.
Oh, I saw cheetahs when I went to South Africa.
What did we see a lot of that we were just talking about this morning, Abby, in Africa with the people? What were they walking for?
Water. They walked 10 miles to get their water.
Oh, wow.
So we drove from Nairobi to Masai Mara, and we were in a safari vehicle. But I just kept noticing these people with, I mean, there was nothing for miles.
They had to walk 10 miles to get
water. And they were carrying the yellow jugs.
Wow.
And I just kept thinking, wow. And it really made you think. And then wheelbarrows of water. And that is heavy.
Yeah.
But there were people walking that was literally nothing within, you know, 5-10 miles. And so this a charity that we support is called Wells of Life. Mm-hmm. Abby, want to talk about Wells of Life? Remember what they did for you?
Wells of Life is they made my own well.
They made a well.
Abby's
in,
well.
So they raise money for wells in Africa, but they're specifically in Uganda and expanding into Kenya. So we did a little fundraiser on TikTok, which we're going to do again on Christmas, because the cost of a well is $8,000, but they named a well after Abby in Uganda. And there's all these school children with a big sign. We got the photographs. Thank you, Abby, for your well. And it says Abby from Love on the Spectrum. And it's a well, and these kids are drinking from it. And it is so personal for us because we were there. We saw what the parents and community members do to get water. So that was a kind of an extension of going there, seeing that, but then being able to do something to make it, I hope, easier for people.
Wow. That's amazing. That's so cool.
Did we see elephants in Kenya?
A lot.
We saw a lot of elephants. We saw zebras, giraffes.
Oh, my gosh. That is so cool.
A lot of birds. A lot of birds.
Yes.
Abby, to travel, there's different ways of travel, right? There's trains, planes, and automobiles. How are you on a plane? Are you like my wife?
Sometimes I have to tell you something.
How's your wife on a plane? Abby wouldn't
sometimes
know.
Sometimes on planes, there's certain noises I don't like.
Same, Abby.
There was this crying baby on a plane, and she's crying for water. She goes, water, water, is what she was saying.
Mm. Did you get her a well?
And they wouldn't give her any.
Why? That just happened to us like last week where we're on a flight. And look, I don't expect people to, you know, rules are rules. And I'm kind of a rule follower always, you know.
Yeah.
But this little baby and the dad was doing everything he could. And the child was saying water. And the flight attendant said, no, we're boarding. You can't have any water. So what do? Anyone have any water? Anybody?
Exactly.
And a woman gave me a bottle of water. We gave it to the baby. The baby stopped. But then the baby, of course, in flight was having a difficult time. And I said to the flight attendant.
She was so loud, making so much noise I couldn't handle.
You know, airplanes have two different types of jacks. You really need to bring both. We didn't bring the right one. We had the round one. There was no round outlet.
Yeah.
You had to use your device. Couldn't do that. Wouldn't give us headphones. Wouldn't sell us headphones. We wound up moving seats with someone else who knew that we were in distress.
What airline is this?
Every time I hear a baby crying, it makes me want to listen to, guess what sound? The old dial-up modem sound. That's how the internet first started.
Yes, it is, Abby. I was there.
And when my mom was little, they had rotary phones.
Oh, yes.
You have to press the button, it will dial for you.
Those are very cool. There was one in my grandmother's house. I thought it was so fun. When you're on an airplane, Abby.
My grandma had a rotary phone.
Mine did as well.
Mine did too.
One time I was on a plane, there was a crying baby and a barking dog.
Literally no.
We actually had two dogs on a plane, and one of the dogs barked the entire flight from LA to Boston.
Oh, I've gone out of my mind.
And a baby crying, too.
Yes.
Have you been
quite awful.
Sorry, baby, go ahead.
I was saying that's quite awful. That experience that Abby and Christine had was awful.
It was awful. Mm-hmm.
And speaking of auditory issues,
yes,
I know a dog who's Mary Romeo's called roommate's dog. Mm-hmm. His name is Brody, and he has a lot of auditory issues. There's certain octaves he doesn't like.
Oh.
The dog doesn't like certain octaves. Like, you know what his biggest trigger is? Mm. A man's deep voice is what he doesn't
that's
like.
That's fair. Me too. That's me too.
Abby, when it comes to sound and music, do you have trouble in loud spaces? Like could you go to a concert?
I've been to a concert before.
And is it okay for you?
She'd
or
probably
do you
sing as loud as artists.
I saw Demi Lovato in concert.
Ooh.
In 2014.
How did she do?
She was amazing. She even sang This Is Me from Camp Rock. Joe Jonas came on stage.
Thrived, Abby. Yeah. You were thriving.
I was asking that question because sometimes for me, loud noise in general, doesn't matter what octave it is, just loud sounds will make me get very uncomfortable. And I just can't tolerate that. So I was curious to know how it was for you.
It's like, changed with her over the years.
Really?
Though. I think as she has learned to manage certain things, I'd say when she was younger, that might have been a trigger. And now it's very octave specific. One of the most unusual things from her childhood, remember they had this thing called Baby Shakespeare, and everybody put this video on Baby Shakespeare. So you're
like
listening
William Shakespeare
and Baby Einstein, right?
Yeah.
So you're listening to that music because you're supposed to help with brain development. So I had it. She loved it. She watched it. And then one day I got Baby Bach. the newest one that came out. Now, Bach is very orchestral, mm-hmm. yeah. sort of a deeper thing. Put it on, and the second it went on, she started screaming. I mean screaming.
Tinny. It's tinny.
Yes, yeah. something different.
And so then she had to call the pediatrician.
I did. I actually yeah. called the pediatrician, and I said, what is going on? This is so strange. And he said—
Did it sound like I was getting abused?
You mean by listening to it?
When I was screaming, did you think someone was hurting
me? No, no, no. It wasn't that. He just said it's not a big deal that you just didn't like it.
Feldman?
Yeah. So anyways, but it was interesting because that was the beginning of sort of alternative looking at mm-hmm. some of these inputs and stuff. So now I would say for her, it's definitely octave specific. VeggieTales. Now, do you know that VeggieTales?
Yes, yeah. I know VeggieTales.
So that's a very high-pitched sort of squeaky intro. Can't tolerate that.
And also, you know what else scared me? There were these two bird pictures at the cabin in Lake Arrowhead, and they looked scary.
So that was a visual kind of frightful.
You know what they look like? The vultures on Splash Mountain.
Those are scary.
They look like mean birds.
Or the ones
birds
in Africa.
Peck your eyes out.
Not fair, but I like that you went to Arrowhead. Okay, travel. Look at you bring it back around, Abby.
You're really a traveler, aren't you, Abby?
She is a traveler. Abby, where else did we go after Africa, remember?
Paris.
We went to Paris.
Did you see the Eiffel Tower?
Yes.
Did you have a baguette?
A baguette?
Ooh, the long pieces of bread with cheese?
Yes. What else did you eat? What was your goal? You had a goal to eat something in Paris. What was it?
Can I guess?
What is it?
Was it a croissant?
It was in Paris.
We did eat those, but what else? You had one thing in particular. Come on, girl. What's the thing you love eating?
Escargot.
No way,
Abby.
That guy?
Yes. And I wouldn't touch it.
Except that has a shell.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Slugs are similar to snails.
This
is true.
Now, why do you like escargot?
How adventurous.
The flavor? The chewiness.
It was slimy yet satisfying, like when Simba eats the grub.
Like a grub slimy.
Like my favorite Disney movies are Lion King and Little Mermaid.
Because they're the best.
Finding Nemo.
Obviously, another great one. Do you like Wall-E?
I loved Wall-E.
I love Wall-E.
Oh, yeah. Eva. So you just think that escargot is delicious?
Yeah.
Wow. And you had it in Paris. How amazing.
It's kind of crazy for someone who also had texture and food issues. Yeah. Big time. Like, she had a lot of that. But I think the connection to Lion King made it approachable.
And also, you know what I don't like? Also, gluten-free foods, when I was on the diet, I didn't like the texture and the taste of it.
I can understand that.
You did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we tried it. I didn't like the texture of it.
I understand. The breads are a bit weird.
But that was a long time ago, and it's changed a lot, just so you know, Abby. It's very different than it was in 2006 when you were on that.
Yeah.
So the technology of that food stuff has changed quite a bit. Yeah.
This is true. This is very true. Do you have issues with gluten, or you just were trying to not?
Oh, yeah, but it feels like I didn't want to be on it because everyone else wasn't on it. Speaking of wanting to fit in, do you know this children's book called A Bad Case of Stripes?
No.
It's about a girl named Camilla Cream. She loves lima beans, but she never eats them because the other kids didn't like them, so she wanted to fit in.
Not fair.
And she pretended she didn't like lima beans, and she turned striped. She was striped, and then she went to school, and they were doing the pledge. She was she turned red, white, and blue. She wasn't being her true self.
And then
when a kid called out, let's see purple polka dots, she turned all purple polka dotted.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
What happens at the end?
And then, at the end, when the doctors come, they give her a pill. She turns into a big pill.
Did she ever eat lima beans again?
In the end, but then after she wasn't being her true self, it might be a virus, they say, and then virus balls come out of her because she wasn't being her true self, and then she started melting into her room.
Oh, my goodness.
But what happens in the end? It has a happy ending.
An elderly woman comes and gives her some lima beans, and she turns back into her true self.
I love that.
Because she owned it.
Yeah. You have to own your true self, don't you?
Yeah.
It's a hard lesson to learn sometimes, but I feel like when you do, you're just much happier.
Yeah.
And finding all of our own uniqueness.
Are you happy, Abby?
I am.
Good.
She's overcome so much, and I like to just point out how hard she has worked and never giving up. And one of her music videos, which was the first one we did, was called The Girl Inside. Because she used to go around saying, I didn't do it. The girl inside me did it. Like, she would have this understanding that autism was like a person living inside of her that controlled her brain. So she had the desire to execute something, but her brain wouldn't do it, which gave me a lot of patience and understanding and, you know, so that I didn't have expectations that were not appropriate for who she is. So there's that part of it. But, you know, she wrote this song, you know, Girl Inside, which was the first one. And at the very beginning of that, when she was 12 years old, you were 12, right?
Something like that.
Sitting in a room. I've always been a videotape person and picture taker. I had the first video camera in like 1980-something.
Oh, my gosh. Okay?
It was about this big. And so I was always into that stuff. But she was 12, and she was sitting on her bed. She was super frustrated, having a hard time. And she just said, why isn't my brain doing what I'm telling it to do? It's the first time.
And I was like, ha, stupid brain.
It was the first time she ever actually was able to articulate something like that. Because you got to remember, I was playing detective all the time. Yeah. I didn't know. She couldn't say. I'd have to deduce and try and figure out what something meant. And she said, my stupid brain isn't working. Why isn't it doing? I want to take my brain out, and I want to give it to somebody else, and I want to take a typical kid's brain and put it in my head. So I actually then grabbed my camera and said, can you say that again? Tell me, what are you feeling? Why are you so angry? She said the exact same thing again. And so it's at the beginning of that song. That footage of her at 12 feeling so frustrated and actually doing this, like with her head. And it just makes
like
you.
This.
Can you help me understand something from that, what you just told me? So she, at that time, was that like another version of her explaining about the other girl in the brain? You see what I'm, you know what I mean? You're saying that at that time she was like, there's somebody else in my brain and I can't tell my brain what to do. But at that time, you knew you couldn't tell your brain what to do, but you still had the smarts to say
she
that.
She had the awareness
had
and
the
awareness. Ability
awareness.
To separate.
You know what another annoying thing is? 1-877 cars for kids.
First of all, I agree, Abby. Oh. And now they're taking real estate and houses. I don't understand.
There was like these five other kids. But are those kids, are they?
They're not real.
Well, they're probably young adults now.
They're definitely 35 to 72.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Quite a
that
range.
Commercial's been out for a very long time.
What's the other one? That's the one you can't stand, Cars for Kids.
1-877 cars for kids.
Oh, no. Ugh.
That's just an auditory awful. Thing.
But it's not, it's more annoying.
See, I wonder if that's connected to a memory of hearing it on the school bus because like, so there's certain scenarios and places where songs might have played. So I'm always trying to say, what is sensory? What is painful or uncomfortable for her versus what is connected to a memory of when she heard it? So it's the memory triggering it, not the actual sensory. One thing people don't understand, like American Airlines on that flight, is I'm trying to help all the passengers on that flight because I didn't expect to be sitting next to the crying baby.
Right.
We can be near the baby. It's totally our fault. She brought one set of headphones, but it didn't fit in the jack. Our fault.
Yeah, I felt like doing this.
So I get
crying.
That.
What's that from? The Amanda Show.
Oh, the Amanda Show. Yes. We don't talk about Nickelodeon, Abby.
Raven's a Disney kid.
I'm just messing with you, Abby.
joke.
She's just kidding. She's just kidding. But just to circle back to what you were saying earlier, I think that moment of awareness is so interesting when you realize you're not your autism. You're different than your autism, much like anyone else who has a difference isn't that thing, right? Your being is greater than that. So that's amazing that you were also, as her mother and her witness, able to see and capture that.
When that moment happened, she was 12. So it's the first time she was ever, and a lot of parents will ask me, you know, when did she start talking? When were we in full sentences? Because they're working on language. That was the first time there was ever a specific, concrete description of what it must have felt like to be in her head. So that's when I grabbed my camera, shot the thing, stumbled out of her room, watched it again, and said, that was like my universal God moment of the universe that came down and said, Christine, you're supposed to show people this because if a nonverbal, non-speaking person might feel the exact same way.
Yeah.
And that parent should know that so that you understand what might be going on inside and see the person, not the disability.
Yeah.
So I'm really learning a lot about that and learning about people on all different levels, from non-speaking to kind of moderate needs to low support needs. There's a whole community. We talked about that a tiny bit, just about people that are discovering what I call neurological differences in processing that affect their lives in a real way. Some of them are called low support needs autistic, but the manifestation of that can be really impairing, you know?
Yeah.
So hopefully more language gets added to that so we can help more people.
Yeah. No, I think it's so important. Oh. And I think that what you're doing, Quinn. Sure.
Let me take this off.
Yeah. He's a bit squiggly, Abby.
Okay.
But he's not.
He won't hurt you.
Put his feet down.
There you go.
Good boy, Quinn.
Good boy.
Good boy. Christine, I just think what you're doing for the autism community. So amazing. And I know I said this to you when we were on the phone, but I just so admire your resilience and your
empathy.
Being a good mother. I mean, you really, you have had to overcome some really intense differences and odds. And I think
around, he'll hug you like a, like a little kid. He'll hug you like a little kid.
There
it is.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Is he a puppy or is he full grown?
He's full grown.
So he's an adult.
He's a year and a half.
So he's practically a young adult.
He's a young adult. Especially at the time when Abby was young, I feel like there was so much less understanding.
Yes,
and
that
you,
is true.
I can only imagine the isolation, frustration, fear, sadness you must have been going through because there just wasn't that much there.
Yeah,
does he bite?
It's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that go on a lot of different levels.
When he was little, he did.
He was
a puppy.
Just like gentle gnawing. He never bought
my brother Ben
anger.
Just bought a puppy.
Ooh, what kind?
Australian Shepherd.
Cute. Oh, how cute. Okay, let's hear what Christine was saying.
I'm going to finish this, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, honey. There's so many levels of how this impacts, and I'll never forget the day. I'm like a to-do list person. I'm like, to-do list, and the day of the diagnosis was, I was like, well, what do I do now?
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, well, you'll be doing a lot of therapies and a lot of interventions. And I didn't even know what that meant. And everything went in slow motion for me. Mm-hmm. Like I saw my life fading before my eyes that day. I just saw everything I'd ever hoped and dreamed for my own
stuff
I wanted to do in my life kind of like go away.
Because, Missouri.
You know?
Yes, I can only imagine how that feels, having so many ideas and thoughts that we create when you create a life and you have these goals and dreams, and then it just took a left turn.
But it wasn't goals and dreams of any expectation I had.
Okay.
Like, I'm not like that. I waited to the last second to have kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I was traveling Europe. I was doing a lot of fun stuff.
Okay.
And then... It was more just, will she talk? Will she have friends? Will she be alone? We got kicked out of preschool. That's not a fun feeling when they call you up and say, your kid can't come here anymore.
We can't
guarantee her safety. I mean, that was actually the day I really knew that my life had changed forever. Everything about my experience being Abby's mom, my first child, was not at all anything I was prepared for, knew about. It was all different. And so you kind of piece it together. And you have to kind of figure out as you go and be a detective. And the one thing I would say to parents is, and caregivers, is just you can't wait for the system to come to you
ever and
say, do this and do this.
They're not
and in
do
other
that.
Areas, you can. If you have other illnesses, the doctor will say, here's our course of treatment.
If it's
a mental illness thing and you need support, usually there's, okay, we have this medication.
Quinn.
We have this therapy.
But
that's
they immediately go to medication. They're not actually giving you tools.
Right. So I'm a big tool believer.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not against medication if it works for anyone, because we know that the brain may have lower levels of dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do have brain chemistry, that's not,
you've
got to be careful about it.
Yeah.
But you cannot do one without the other. I'm a total cognitive behavior girl. Like, let's get into it. Let's rethink our thinking. My favorite line.
Yeah, I love that.
Let's rethink our thinking. And I do that all the time. I can look at something this way or I can look at it that way.
That's you got a
perspective.
Superpower.
Yeah.
And you got to kind of do it that way. So I want to inspire people to sort of accept what is in your life. Do not compare in despair. And if you can do that, I had to have that moment where I just was in full acceptance of this, because I was kicked and dragged into this. I want to make sure people know. So like, it wasn't like I was like, oh, great. It was very hard for me to sort of change my perspective on everything and rethink it.
I can only imagine.
Other than that, I know a tiger with ADHD. Tigger from Winnie the Pooh.
He has ADHD just like my brother.
That is 100% true.
I want to play
a
game.
Can I play a game?
Oh.
Do you want to play a quick game?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a game that I like to play with my wife sometimes.
Okay.
And I want to see.
I'm her wife.
Miranda. I want to see if it works for you, Abby. Are you down to play?
Mm-hmm.
It's really simple. Here are the rules. By the time I finish counting to three, I'm going to say someone's name, and you're going to say exactly what's in your brain right then and there, as fast as you can.
Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
What did she say, Abs?
Someone in your brain, count to three as fast as you can.
She's going to say a name and then count to three.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to say the first thing that comes in your mind.
Okay.
You down?
Yes.
Okay, so I won't do you first. I'll say Miranda, 1, 2, 3.
Teapot.
OK. Okay. Christine, 1, 2, 3.
Dog.
Abby, 1, 2, 3.
African lioness.
Ooh. Okay, someone play with me.
Okay.
You play next.
Raven.
Dog. You're supposed to count to three.
You're right.
This is a hard game.
I know. Raven, 1, 2, 3.
Dog. Abby, 1, 2, 3.
African lioness.
I know. Mermaids.
Oh. Mermaids. Okay, that's fair.
We want to know what you're thinking about sometimes.
What are you thinking about right now?
I'm thinking about
In-N-Out Burger.
Are you hungry?
I'm hungry. I love In-N-Out. I wish I could get it, but unfortunately, I do still go, but only once in a blue moon, which is an idiom.
You like your idioms.
She does. What's your favorite idiom? Tell us some.
I like cool as a cucumber, but even though I don't like the textures of cucumbers, it's a texture.
Yeah.
But my cousin Mary does.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. What's your other idiom? Like, you use one all the time.
A blessing in disguise.
That's a good one.
Oh, that is a good one. I'm trying to think of an idiom, and I can't.
She's got a heap of
them. Like, when I eat, I have to hold my horses, and easy does it.
Oh, slow down. Easy does it.
Which she'll say to me, like, when I'm driving, right? What do you say to me when I'm driving?
Hold your horses.
Yeah, hold your horses.
What do you say about your brother? That's the idiom you always use about Ben's situation with his ex.
Stab someone in the back.
Ooh. She says that about her brother's ex-girlfriend.
Messy,
from high school.
Abby. You're messy.
She was horrible, Ben's ex-girlfriend. She was awful. I even went in her car and she took me to the mall and it was awful.
She didn't buy you anything?
I don't know, but I knew she was lying.
Oh, man. About what?
I don't know about anything. She was just not telling the truth.
Oh, goodness.
She did not tell the
truth. That was hard for Abby to comprehend. Yeah. So what did you say? What was the idiom you liked?
A wolf in sheep's clothing.
That is a good one. Abby, do you always tell the truth?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You just can't tell a lie?
There's certain things that's interesting like that. Like the ability to judge. One of my most profound, special needs mom moments was, it was Valentine's and I was at the special needs dance at her autism school. And all the kids were just like doing their own thing and I was by myself. And there was a girl on the dance floor and she was kind of doing like this kind of like maneuvering by herself. And I had a moment where I went, saw the girl, judged the girl and said, oh, look what she's doing. And then had that moment of turning to someone else as if to say, okay. And of course, nobody was in that head except me. And in that moment, I felt shame, of course. And then I felt everyone was blessed with not judging. Mm. And I was the only one that did that to that girl who was completely free in that space. And I felt really yucky about the humanness of judgment, which was just, you know, we do that. But
I do it every day.
Yeah.
It's a problem I have.
But no, I shouldn't be doing that. Yeah. Like, let everyone just be. And wouldn't that be life-changing if we could? It's hard, though. But
I'd be a better person for sure.
But that's such a beautiful moment of realization.
Abby, 1, 2, 3.
Water parks.
Ooh.
Sorry, her face was so happy. I wanted to know what was going on.
I like water parks and David likes going on African safaris.
You guys are travelers, honey.
You guys are adventurous.
Where's the next water park located?
Atlantis, because that was from his childhood vacation. Aww. David went with his family when he was a kid.
Aww. So we're going to go there. And then what was the other one you keep?
Coco Cay.
No, there's another one that you want to go to a different country.
Poland.
Oh.
Santiago, but we'll stop in DreamWorks Water Park to get used to Polish time.
Okay.
That's smart.
Because we got to get used to Polish time because they're like 8 hours ahead.
When you travel, does the time change bother you?
No, but that's why I was sleeping on the plane when I was leaving Boston going to London.
I'll tell you, going to Africa to shoot season 2.
Because I was trying to get used to it.
Yeah.
Netflix said, okay, so we're going to get you on a plane. You're going to fly to Nairobi. We're just going to get some shots of you getting off the plane. And I go, okay, so we're going first class, right? Because I got to get her to sleep. And they said, oh, no, we don't do that policy. No first class tickets. And I said, wait a minute. You expect her to get on a plane, sit up straight for 22 hours, and then get off a plane and be smiling? I said, that is not going to work. And so the people that do the show worked with me, and we did a bunch of stops, and we acclimated to the time. So it worked out perfectly. But that could not work because sleep schedule is a very important part to be functioning properly.
Abby, 1, 2, 3.
Junk food.
Ooh.
Well, I don't eat it every day. I have moderation, but my grandma ate a ton of junk food. My grandmother.
What's
not
your favorite?
Yours, mine.
What's your favorite junk food?
ice cream and cake. I love eating that every day on my birthday.
Yes.
When I turn 27, I'm going to have it.
Yeah. Ice cream and cake? Absolutely. Do you like Reese's peanut butter cups?
Oh, yes. If I had a stuffed golden retriever, I'd name him Reese's peanut butter cups. Reese's
Me
is, good.
Too,
is that
Abby.
A good name for a stuffed golden retriever?
I think for you,
yes.
Reese's is a great name for a stuffed golden really retriever.
And you know what's a good name for a stuffed Dalmatian? Chocolate chip cookie.
Or Oreo.
Because of black and white.
Oreo. Yeah.
Oreo. Oreo would work. But you already have a stuffed animal named Oreo, don't you?
That's David does. He's an elephant.
Oh, I love that.
He's an elephant.
Adorable.
David has a stuffed animal collection of 26, is it?
Yeah, he has a stuffed lion named S'mores.
And she memorized the names of his animals when they were first dating, which I thought was so cute. Yeah. And she memorized his synesthesia numbers, remember?
Yeah, number one used to be black, but he changed it to gold.
Oh.
So he has a whole thing with the...
Number two is red.
Association.
Got it.
She's number three is yellow. Number four is blue.
Wow.
Number five is green. Number six is purple. Number seven is white. Number eight is brown. Number nine is pink. Number 10 is gray. Number 11 is orange. Number 12 is crimson. Number 13 crimson is tan. Is
oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, to circle back quickly to what I was saying regarding your moment at the dance, mm-hmm. yeah. I just feel like what a beautiful moment of realization you were able to have in understanding some of the freedoms that come in disabilityed communities
yes.
when they are all amongst themselves. And it's really the outside world that is judging. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's such a shame because you miss out. I think the outside world ends up missing out on such beautiful people and experiences, but
beautiful minds.
But human beings, for the most part, in terms of how we are societally told to how in which way we need to function, is really just one way. And you miss out on beautiful minds. You miss out on freedoms. We don't have freedom just to say what's in our head right. often times. And I think that
because we're also thinking we also know that someone's going to judge us for it. Not only yeah. do we judge others, but we have the fear of
judgment.
We're
inhibited Correct. In so many ways. Yeah. So I just think that's a beautiful moment of
it is. And
awakening.
You know, I've gone so full circle in my life, especially since autism came into my life.
Yeah.
And I love on Love on the Spectrum how, like in season two, we meet. I'm just going to throw out Tanner. And to me, Tanner is just a pin of, if you've seen the show,
oh,
you
yeah,
know.
Tanner.
Tanner is just such a sweet soul. We got to meet him at a Netflix event. And, you know, just getting
and
to talk
Connor's
to him and see.
Nice.
Connor's great. And,
nice.
And Journey's adorable.
Yes.
Just getting to meet them and see them as humans and see their humanity.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because when you have a child, you know, we see our kids' humanity because they're our kids.
Yeah.
And I've seen parents with very disabled, full-time mm-hmm. care kids who are so committed to the love they have for their children. It makes me cry almost because they're connected to that person.
Yeah.
That humanity. They don't see the disability.
I do. I love him.
Sorry.
You what?
I love SpongeBob.
I used to watch SpongeBob growing up when I was little.
Love SpongeBob.
I used to watch it when I was really little.
Can I tell you a story about SpongeBob?
Yeah.
I have two stories, so just stick with me for 2 seconds. Right. When I was on That's So Raven and I had long days of filming, the people that ran the sound used to play the SpongeBob SquarePants theme song, and I would run up and down the stage to get all of my energy out.
Oh, wow.
To get all of my energy out. My second story with SpongeBob was I was in an award show, and the guy who plays SpongeBob got an award right before
Tom
me.
Kenny?
Yes.
I met Tom Kenny.
He's fantastic, right?
So
I love
cool.
Tom Kenny.
He's amazing. He does a lot for autism, actually. Mm-hmm, yeah. He really does. He's a great guy.
And you know, Pearl and SpongeBob, you know who voiced Pearl? My voice over director Lori Allen voiced her.
Oh, I love Lori Allen.
Lori Allen yeah. voiced yeah. Pearl.
She did. She Abby did some voiceover classes with Lori.
My mom has known yeah. Lori Allen before I was born.
I know Lori
yeah,
Allen.
Yeah.
You've been famous
years.
Since you were 4 years old?
Earlier, Abby. I've been famous since I was 3.
Wow.
Are there any, who was a trained kid child singer? Michael Jackson
mm-hmm. was a trained, Shirley Temple was a trained kid.
That's right.
Singer.
There are some good kid singers like Michael Jackson,
yeah.
Shirley Temple.
They're both fantastic. And now you're not a kid anymore, but your voice is
singer.
Like an angel.
Oh. Yeah, my voice was raspier singing when I was a kid, just like Miley Cyrus's.
Yeah, most definitely.
You want cheers with us, Abby?
Yeah.
Oh, you love
cheers.
1, 2, 3,
cheers.
Cheers. Abby, thank you so
thank
much
you.
For coming.
Thank
Christine,
you.
Thank cheers. You for coming. You guys are absolutely wonderful.
Mm. That's your welcome in Spanish.
It sure is. Gracias. This was great. Abby, thank you.
Thank you so much. And I hope you enjoy your hats.
Oh, it's happening. Beautiful. We're going to wear these all winter long.
Yes, we are.
They're so beautiful.
Those are yours. I made them.
Thank you, Abby.
We're so lucky, Abby.